praise the name of the Lord. I want to say good evening and welcome to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. I tell you what, the Lord is amazingly good to us. Hey, good to see you tonight. And I want you to know that the Lord is always on your side. The Lord is always on our side. And I want you to remember that every day of your life, every day of your life is a day that God has already planned to be a part of. And what I want us to do is make sure that we understand that every day the Lord should have an impact in our life. And we should never, ever be running this life without God's direction. If we live a life without God's direction, I tell you what, the Bible says one thing, that the thoughts and the ways of man that is right in his own mind will always lead to destruction. So I want us to make sure that we are people that join with God and stay with God and enjoy this journey in this race called life. So tonight we're going to enter into worship and we're going to know that God is with us and we're going to know that God is good. Amen.
Amen. Stand your feet with us this evening. Let us be grateful we are His. Thankful in my heart I was lost, but now I'm found. Let us be grateful we are His. Covered in safety, I found rest within the Father's hand. Your love is all around me. Faithfulness inside me, your faithfulness before me, there for me. And I will dance, lift up my hands, ain't no one gonna hinder my praise. I will sing, lift a shout, ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. Let us be grateful we are His. Overflowing from my heart and now my lips resound. Let us be grateful we are His. Promise of life eternal freely given unto me. Your love is all around me. Faithfulness inside me, your faithfulness before me, there for me. And I will dance, lift up my hands, ain't no one gonna hinder my praise. I will sing, lift a shout, ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. I will dance, lift up my hands, ain't no one gonna hinder my praise. Say, my life will proclaim. A grateful heart is what I have to bring. When no words can I say, my life will proclaim. A grateful heart is what I have to bring. When no words can I say. Inside me, your faithfulness before me, before me. Your gratefulness inside me. Your faithfulness before me, before me. And I will dance, lift up my hands. Ain't no one gonna hinder my praise. I will sing, lift up, shout. Ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. I will dance, lift up my hands. Ain't no one gonna hinder my praise. You would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters. So come. Won't you come, God? I feel it in my bones, you're about to move. In the wind you're about to ride in. You said that you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters. So let your rain come drench us in love. Let your glory rush in like a flood. See it now, your kingdom come. I can hear it now, the sounds of heaven. You said that if we ask, we'll receive it, Lord. So we are asking for the greater measure. Sing that again, I can see. I can see it now, your kingdom come, Lord. Can hear it now, the sounds of heaven. You said that if we ask, we'll receive. How many receive tonight? So we are asking for the greater measure. And let your rain come drench us in love. Let your power rush in like a flood. And glory, and we're transformed by. Spirit move. We're ready for you, so come and pump.
We pour out our praise, it's your praise.
will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Sing that again. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Come on, let's declare that tonight.
we let the atmosphere change 1,000%. Is there anybody in here who has went to the doctor and got diagnosed with something or is struggling with infection or anything? Anybody here tonight that's recently? Oh, really? What's going on? Father, in the name of Jesus, now, Lord, you are putting your hand on this right now, Father. And, Lord, I thank you that you're releasing healing in this dear child, Father. Lord, you are strengthening every area within her stomach, and you're making the corrections necessary, Father. Lord, that these symptoms and this situation would go. And, Father, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you what, our God is a healing God. Amen. And he works on us immediately. Amen. And he's a part of this now time. And we need to remember as people that God is always with us. And sometimes if we're not careful, we will bring ourselves down to just the circumstances of life. That's never God's decision. It's our decision. Amen. And we want to make sure that we keep ourselves from doing that. I'm going to go ahead and release these children and that powerful children's pastor so they can get their night underway. Hallelujah. Amen. I love it. Praise God. Oh, yeah. Very important. Hallelujah. Praise God. And now we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to talk about the offering. And the thing that I want to remind you of is there was a time where some of the disciples, Peter and a couple of disciples, were fishermen. And we know that they fished before they ever met the Lord. And they were very successful because they had boats to fish from. And so at this one time, the Lord called to those disciples after they had been fishing all night and toiling long hours and had caught nothing, and he asked to use their boat. And he sat down and he taught from the disciples' boats. And when he was done teaching, he said to them, okay, now take your boat out and cast your nets. And he said, nets, plural. Now the disciples did not grab 100% onto what the Lord said, because he said, let down your nets and you're going to catch fish. And those disciples who were well-trained fishermen, who had fished a lot in that area, they said, Lord, we've toiled all day and we've caught nothing, but at your word, we're going to go ahead and do things your way. And immediately when those disciples decided to do things the Lord's way instead of their own intellect. See, sometimes we will start a journey that God certainly puts us on, but in the middle of it, when things don't go our way and we don't see what we think we see, we revert back to doing things our way. And when we revert back to doing things our way, it's just never going to be good. But in this case, the disciples were smart enough to say, Lord, we've toiled all day and done this and this, and it hasn't worked out. But at your word, at your direction, we're going to be obedient. And as soon as they were obedient, they let down their net and caught such a load of fish that they had to have other fishermen come and help them. Which means to us Christians that if we will do things God's way, we're going to be able to help friends and loved ones that come along on the journey beside us. Amen? And we want to make sure that we're open to that. And so I'm telling you this because in the believer's life, one thing that is a promise of God is the tithing and offering covenant. Now, a tithe is 10%. That means if you make $50, you should give the Lord $5. And if you make $300, you should give him $30. That's your tithe. And then there's something called offerings, which is what you put in your heart to give above and beyond that. And when you choose to do that, God will make sure that he touches your life with his supernatural ability to provide for you. And so I just want to make sure that we make the decision that we're not going to be people that do stuff our own way. We're not going to be people that just choose to keep God out, but we're going to be the people that once the Lord sits in our boat, we're going to let him direct us every day, every direction that he wants to direct us. Amen? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we get ready to do tithe and offering, Father, and God, as you are allowing people to release, God, their tithe and offering, it's an opportunity to have the windows of heaven opened up on our life. Father, it's an opportunity to have the devourer rebuked from off of our things, Lord. And it's an opportunity, Father, for you to protect our seed from the field and within us, God, and just bring it into blessings, Father. Lord, I thank you that the Bible says you will open up the windows of heaven and you will touch our lives. And God, we thank you and believe you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. We had testimony already earlier tonight of someone who released their tithe unto the Lord, and he's already done some miraculous things for them. So we want to just keep moving towards God. Amen. Hallelujah. God, hallelujah. Well, I'm going to lay just a little bit out here. Oh, obviously, you guys see that Pastor Regina is not with me tonight. And even though she probably wouldn't like me saying it, you guys already know that means that she's under the weather, amen? Because she's certainly not sitting home just relaxing, not being here. We just have a little battle within her health, and I want you guys to just keep her up in prayer, and I'm believing God that she'll be recovered by this weekend, and we're just gonna know that God's our healer. Amen. 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 So tonight I'm gonna speak just a little bit on some stuff. If you watch the prayer table, you'll know that our subject this week was kind of dealing with our words, and this is not necessarily something we talked about this week, but the Lord just put this in my spirit. And I just want to share it with you, and it's out of Ephesians chapter 4. And it says in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, the first thing I want to say to us as Christians, that sometimes I don't know how, but it seems like we forget, that when we become saved, we're regenerated. That means we're born again, we're born anew. And I want you to understand something, because I don't believe Christians always understand this, but it says that we must put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Do you know that once you are saved, it should be a very clear thing in your conscience to know what's right and wrong before God? I want you to know that sometimes, even before you know the in and outs of the Bible, once you're saved, God will begin to give you convictions that if you have truly given your life to him, he will put you on check on what's right and wrong. Also, it says that you are born now of righteousness. And what that means is that your new nature is no longer a sinful nature. See, the sin of sinful nature is before we knew God. You know, that's when someone doesn't know the Lord. That's when their nature is more likely to be sinful and filled with sinful things, is when we don't know God. But once we know God, the Bible says that the new man, who we are after we're saved, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Do you know that the church, even the body of Christ, has stolen some identity from themselves for years, because there are a lot of denominations and lots of people that say after we're saved, oh, you're just a sinner saved by grace. No, you once were a sinner. Once you become saved by grace, it says that you now have a nature in which righteousness and true holiness should prevail in your life. It means that things that used to overtake you and take you to the bar and take you to cussing and fighting and all of those things, it means now those things should start to die off in your life and you should start reaching towards the Lord. Amen? And so we want to see here where it says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Do you see here that after we become saved, there are natures that used to be a part of us that should start falling away from us? Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to get everything overnight. It doesn't mean that right away everything, but it does mean that as we pursue the Lord, as we study to show ourselves approved, and as we go after God, it does mean that we are going to start seeing changes from the old to the new. It says here, be ye angry and sin not. Do you know that once you are saved, there ought to come a curving of your ability to be angry and out of control? After we're saved, there should come some arenas whereby which even when we're upset or even when we're angry, there's a curbing that takes place where we just don't act the way we used to. You know, before you were saved, you might have blew up and cussed and throwed stuff. You might have even been in physical altercations with people. But there is an understanding and an empowerment that comes upon us once we're saved, where that nature starts to die off out of who we are. The Bible also says here, neither give place to the devil. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Christians, I want you to know something. That there used to be, I can't even remember what the old movie was. I don't know if it was on Sanford or Son or what the TV show was, but there was an old TV show where the man used to say, the devil made me do it, or something like that. I want you to know something, that once you get into faith, you give up that position where the Bible says right here. I just want to read that again to us because I think it's very important that we really see this. Neither give place to the devil. I want you to know, Christians, it is up to you if the devil is going to run rampant in your life or not. There are choices that we make and decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis that is going to either fuel the devil's ability to bring havoc to our life, or it's going to stop the devil's ability to bring havoc to our life. You know, you can either fuel a fire, or if you're smart, you can get gas and put it out. You can get water and pour it and put it out instead of putting gas to a fire. But it is up to us to make certain that we don't give place to the devil. Well, Pastor, how do we give place to the devil? Well, I'll tell you how. First of all, neglecting your faith life. Not being a part of a church. Trying to live life on your own. Not studying to show yourself approved. And not having a prayer life. These are critical, critical things. And then let's go there. Let's add fasting and times of prayer where not only are we just wanting to be who we are and maintain something, but we need to be pressing in to change something. Amen? See, I will tell you something. When you are in pursuit of God and when you are in pursuit of the Lord, sick, sinful nature becomes a thing that becomes minimized in your life. If you are in pursuit of God, it's one of the biggest things you can do to make sure that you don't give place to the devil in your life. Amen? And so we want to be on a journey whereby we are making certain that we stay attached to God and we stay with the Lord and in pursuit of what the Lord has for us. So we don't want to give place to the devil. And it says, let him that stole steal no more. See, there are just things that start to take place once we're really saved and we want to put on the new man that starts to happen where our behaviors of the past should come to nothing and should be stopped. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Do you know that the Lord is a part of not just your spiritual walk in the church and when you're praying and when you're doing those things, but do you know that God wants to put himself in your life wherever you're at? Even in your day-to-day job duties, there's a way that you can complete your tasks that give honor to God. Even at your job, you should be prayerful. Even at your job, you should be mindful of other people, and you should be a reflection of Jesus Christ. You know, I was just talking to a man that I was driving into church today, and he's just a man I know, and he's a saved Christian, and he was telling me how he received a phone call out of the blue where one of his workers said, "Oh my gosh, my daughter was in a terrible accident. Her spleen is ruptured. All these things are going on." And the man said, "Listen, we're going to pray." And with less than 18 hours from the accident, the girl was released and was on the way to full recovery. And that guy said, "Man, it's just amazing what God will do." Well, it's amazing what God will do when his people are living in a way that they're not only having church at church. See, you don't just come to a couple services and say, "Hallelujah, I'm a Christian." You come to church to get fortified, to get added to, so that you are strengthened in your day-to-day. And what you do on a day-to-day basis at your job, at your home, in the relationships you have, is a very powerful thing that gives way for God to do the supernatural in other people's lives. Amen? And so it says here that let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Wow. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And let's just deal with corrupt communication for a couple minutes here, because certainly we understand that corrupt communication would be profanity, negative, and hatred stuff. But we should also understand that corrupt communication is when a married man wrongfully flirts with an unmarried woman. We should understand that corrupt communication is negative words and things that we may say about people or about each other. And we can have corruption going on just in how we communicate, especially if we're talebearers, backbiters, and we talk behind people's back. That is corrupt communication. Certainly swearing is, but that is corrupt communication. I even want to get into this thing where I tell you what, corrupt communication is when we start letting stuff out of our mouth that has no basis of faith in it. Do you know that corrupt communication is every time you speak against the Lord in your life? Even when we are having difficulties, it's one thing to recognize that we're having difficulties and deal with those, but corrupt communication would be, "Oh my gosh, my life is so bad, it's always going to be bad." Corrupt communication was, "Oh, right now I got so many problems going on, I don't ever even see a way out, and God, don't you care, and you're not helping me." Those kinds of things are corrupt communication, whereby which we should never have that going out of our mouth. Amen? I want you to know something, that you have a God that's listening to everything you have to say. Remember, the Bible says that there's not one idle word that we won't give an account on. Now, that word idle means something that's worthless, useless, something that is absolutely negative and opposes the word of God. That's what idle words are. But let me tell you something. Idle words, if we have to give an account for them, they're not simply something that's not important, is it? It's actually very important what you say and what you stand on and what you believe, because what we say will begin to be what we do. And I'm telling you right now that we don't want to be people that shoot off at the mouth and do a lot of idle word or corrupt communication, putting it out there, because it will actually derail your ability to have God's faith touching your life and your faith opening up the supernatural realm of God. No, no, no. We want to find ourselves like blind Bartimaeus. Amen? If you remember his story in the book of Mark chapter 10, he was a man that was blind, and they say that his father was blind. But the minute he heard that Jesus was in his area, first of all, he positioned himself to be where? A blind man. You know, sometimes we can see, walk, hear, and you know, we don't always position ourselves to be where we can hear from God. Here, this man is blind, and he fights through the crowds and positions himself to be able to hear or speak to the Lord. And he cries out to the Lord, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." And there is people around blind Bartimaeus, just like there will be people around you, that Mona, they started telling him, "Hey, shut up and leave the master alone." Basically, he doesn't have time to come and deal with you. He's an important man. He's got more important things to do. Well, thank God that blind Bartimaeus was smart enough that he cried out even more. He said, "Lord, have mercy on me." And suddenly, Jesus heard exactly what he had to say and told them, "Hey, don't hold him back. Let him come to me." And he went right into the Lord and he said, the Lord said, "What would you have me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And the Lord said, "Go, according to your faith, be it unto you." I want to ask you something. How many of us are bold enough that we will take things straight to the Lord? How many of us are bold enough that when life gets tough and we got something going on, instead of being quiet, instead of sitting here saying, "Well, I'm just going to deal with this," or, "Hey, maybe this will go away," or, "Hey, if the Lord wants to, he can do something." No, no, no. How many of us are bold enough to make sure that we will go to the Lord? I want you to know something. I'm even looking around here and I see people who have received miracles. And the reason they received them is because we had to be bold enough to go to the Lord, pray, and ask him and discern that God is always willing to help us. Amen? Hallelujah. I want you to know something, that we need to make sure that corrupt communication is not coming out of our mouth. Not just swearing, but corrupt communication is any time we speak against or we go against God's will and God's ways, or that we don't ask the Lord what should be going on in our life. Here's what's powerful about that. If we will not let corrupt communication come out of our mouth, which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, one reason why we want to make sure that we don't let corrupt communication come out of our mouth is because the Bible says that where two agree as touching anything, nothing's impossible. Amen? And I tell you what, whether it's our spouse, whether it's our pastor, whether it's a friend, we want to make sure that when we are sharing something, we are sharing something that is faith-based so that we can get a faith-based result. "Hey, so-and-so is sick, but this is what I'm believing. Will you agree with me?" See, that's how we take authority over corrupt communication. "Hey, I got this financial need, but I tell you what, I'm tithing and I gave an offering and I'm believing God for a resolution." Hey, we can agree on those types of things. Amen? We've got to make sure that we're people that live on the course of not letting corrupt communication come out of our mouth. And you know what's so powerful is? Do you know one of the biggest ways to stop corrupt communication? What'd you say? One of the biggest ways to let corrupt communication come out of your mouth, besides shutting up, which is a good, you know, the old saying is, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it. But that's also a true saying from this regard, because the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the Bible also says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So one thing we want to make sure we do is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One of the best ways to stop corrupt communication from from coming out of our mouth is to make sure that our heart is filled with the Word of God. If our heart is filled with the Word of God, then even when we have times of pressure, instead of fear and doubt and unbelief just come pouring out, guess what? We're going to reach towards hope. We're going to reach towards prayer. We're going to reach towards God. Remember, the Bible says that especially in critical times, it won't be us speaking, but the Holy Ghost will speak. And guess what? How is the Lord going to be able to do that? Because we have something in us that he can pull out of. See, at times where we're in big battles, it should be in us that greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. And when we're going through a battle, that should resonate up out of our spirit, and it can cause us to have peace. Amen? It can cause us to shut down fear. It can cause us to say, you know what? I don't know why. Even though the circumstances don't look good, for some reason I have peace. Even though I got this report, man, I have a resoluteness that God is going to heal me or bring me through this situation. Amen? Those things happen because we are getting away from corrupt communication because we're being seated with the Word of God. When we are seated with the Word of God, then even when we get a difficult report, there should be something that rises up in our spirit, and out of our spirit should come a declaration that agrees with what God has to say on a subject. You know, I want to remind you that the Bible says, no weapon formed against you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen? And that when the enemy comes in, sometimes we think the enemy's coming in like a flood, but I want you to know that the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will erupt upon that situation and take care of you. Amen? You know, I want to just spend just a minute here because sometimes I think that we forget how powerful our prayers are and how powerful our communication is and exactly what our communication can do in any subject, in any situation. And I want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Well, I don't want to be political, but I do got to go ahead and bring this up for a minute. That we have forgotten as the body of Christ that one of the most powerful things we're supposed to do to be a part of any political situation or any situation like that is we need to pray. Irregardless of whether you like who's in the presidency or not, irregardless of whether you support who's in the presidency or not, your biggest function in all of this is to pray. Now, I want you to know that I believe you better vote. And I believe that you better take all the advantages of what your American citizenship gives to you. But if you really want our nation to be blessed, lift it up in prayer. If you really want good things to happen and our leaders to do what's right, then you have got to be people of prayer. Look what it says here. I want you to pray for all of those in authority, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, it seems like things are erupting, doesn't it? It seems like there's all this out there and we hear all of this conflict. But the thing is, I want to know, where's the church? I'm not blaming us, but at the same time, I want to know, is some of the upheaval because the church is not as prayerful as they used to be? I want you to know something. I believe that some things that have happened over the last years has actually caused the church to pray more than it has in a while. Amen? And I'm telling you that we need to be a people of prayer. And see, as I sit here and say this, I want you to know something. That I want you to vote. I really do, because I believe in the American way of us doing things. But I also want you to know something. That your prayers for our president, your prayers for the government, your prayers for people in authority, even over the city that we're a part of, your prayer for leaders will do more for our lives than anything else we can do. Amen? And why is that? It's because there is an authority in you and an authority on your voice that if we're not careful, we will forget. See, I want you to know something, that there was a course of communication between blind Bartimaeus and Jesus that made a difference in his outcome. Jesus wasn't the only one communicating, was he? Blind Bartimaeus was crying out, and then blind Bartimaeus, when he had his opportunity to speak, made a bold statement to say, Lord, that I would receive my sight. Amen? And I will tell you what, it's not one-way communication with God. We need to make sure that our communication with the Lord is two-way. Remember, there's actual scripture where the Lord says, hey, come to me and bring to my remembrance. Bring to my remembrance what I have said in my word. Do you think that's because God forgot what he said? No. It's because he's trying to stir us up, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He's trying to stir us up so that our faith will reach towards him and our faith will make up an open way of communication for God to work on our behalf. We've got to remember that the Lord says, choose you this day. I put before you blessing and cursing. I put before you life and death, and I pray that you would choose life. Amen? Amen. That's what the Lord says, isn't it? Amen. I pray that you would choose. And so let's make sure that we choose on a day-to-day basis to make sure that God is our head, God is our leader, and we're choosing to let him have his way in us. Amen? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I believe that you are always empowering us, God. God, I believe that you're always putting something in us so that we can be effective in this thing called life. Father, I pray that each one of us would make sure that corrupt communication is not being born out of us, God. Father, I pray that each one of us make sure that we are people of faith, that we are people that are aware. I thank God that the Bible says that there's a time where we can be awakened and we can look up and we can see clearly, Father. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would see clearly so that we are using our faith and making sure that we are communicating in such a way that the Holy Ghost is never grieved, but he can join with us on a journey. Now, Father, I thank you and I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.